Kia ora, welcome to Asian in Aotearoa, a podcast of uncensored conversations with Asian creatives. I'm Jenna, and in this episode, I catch up with Ellie Pang. Ellie is Chinese and was raised in Paraparaumu on the Kapiti Coast. She is an artist, jeweller, and creator based in Wellington and has a jewellery brand called Pang. Welcome, Ellie.
Hi, thanks.
To start, would you mind doing a brief self-intro?
I'm Ellie Pang. I'm Chinese-born New Zealander, born in Paraparaumu, and I live in Wellington. I am an artist of, I'd say, mixed media because I can't pick a lane, but at the moment my hyperfixation is jewellery.
Ah, oh, I wasn't planning. You mentioned having a card. I actually wasn't planning on doing this.
Just because I've been binging all these previous episodes. And
yeah,
you've been
hanging
and I'm like, that's cool.
Because on this new season, I haven't actually been...
Oh, was it a last year thing?
Yeah, well, I haven't been bringing them in, but I brought them in just for you.
Thank you. Okay. I was just like, that's fun. I'd like to do that.
Okay, so this is the Pleasure Oracle deck. And in the past, I've had guests shuffle and pull a card. And they're not all about sex, but some of them are. So we'll just see what happens. Yep. So have a shuffle.
Thank you. Because I like how you always ask about everyone's star signs. And I'm not really a astrology girly, but I have recently found out my, you know, natal chart, whatever you call it.
Yeah, because when's your birthday?
February 10.
So does that make, what does that make you?
I'm an Aquarius.
Oh.
And I never meet any Aquariuses. But then listening, you've had so many.
Yeah,
I
have.
And I'm like, oh, I'm so unoriginal. What the hell?
I've had quite a few.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or maybe that's a creative thing. I don't know because, oh, does that mean something?
Should you can take that? Okay. What does it say?
Beautiful time.
Okay. This is the card that you pulled. Beautiful time. Our lives will be as mundane, alienating, and distraction-filled as we allow. Time is an oppressive force when dictated by the few over the many in a bid for money and dominance. The situationists used the slogan, "Live without dead time," to protest this twisted spectacle. They advocated instead for spontaneity, creativity, and breaking free of the mental prisons we place ourselves in. Okay, so here's the action for you. While we need to spend a large amount of it doing things we don't want to do, it's our perspective. Hang on, does this make sense? Action. While we need to spend a large amount of it doing things we don't want to do, it's our perspective on them. That's a personal choice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
As is the way we spend our time both inside and outside of those mandatory spaces. In whatever way you can, take your beautiful time back.
Mm, I love it.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's for you.
That is super relevant.
Okay, is it?
Yeah. I am ruled by time as my most precious currency. Uh-huh. Maybe that's because I'm poor and money is not of much value to me, but time is like everything. It's like our most limited resource. I don't know. I've always had this sense of urgency that I'm running out of time all the time.
Oh, okay. And you can take a photo of that if you want.
Can I?
Yeah.
Because I feel like the way I've tried to set up my life in more recent years is to just, I want my time. Like I want my own time to make and just to spend how I want, you know? Like I obviously have restrictions because I have to have a day job too.
Do you have a day job?
I do like one day a week. But I'm just going up to 2 days, which I'm a bit sad about, but I need the money.
Yeah.
So I'm like 2 days a week cosplaying corporate office life.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time, it's my
cosplay time. Corporate girly.
Yeah. I do feel like I'm just faking it, you know? I'm just like, I'm just here and I'm not invested, but well, I shouldn't say that if my workplace was listening. You know, no, they wouldn't listen to this.
Okay.
But that was a big way of me trying to like master my time a bit. Because then I've got the rest of the time to, I don't know, I'm busy, but I'm doing it when I want.
Yeah. So we were emailing months and months ago, and I appreciate you sending me a ton of information about yourself. There are a couple of things in that email you sent me that I'm keen to talk about.
Okay. Can't remember what I said, but we'll find out.
Great.
Yeah.
You said, I don't have super hard views to voice right now. Maybe would have if you caught me in my 20s when I was young and angry. Ha ha.
Yeah.
So my question is, what were you angry about? How come you're not so angry now?
I think in my 20s, I was just living a lot more hard and fast life. I don't know, more righteous about stuff, working out all the internalized racism kind of thing. Whereas now I'm like just minding my own business and, you know, do no harm. kept myself. And I don't know, maybe I'm just tired. You know, like I don't want to fight anymore.
Yeah, I feel
like I was looking for a fight. But now I'm like, I'm tired. Just let me be. I'll let you be. And also I had this realization, I don't know, late 20s. I was like, God, I'm so glad I'm not white. You know, after existing my whole life, you know, man, I wish I wasn't like different.
Yeah.
I suppose. Yeah. And I didn't know any different, I guess. Like I was raised in that, you know, Western, very Western society. Now it's, I'm totally fine with who I am, you know, like.
Did something happen? Was there a point, or was it just now you look back and like, actually, now it's sweet?
I don't know if anything happened, like one major event. I feel like I have a really good judge of character. And there was a point where I didn't listen to that in those years. Mm-hmm. And it came back to bite me in the ass. Yeah, it was just, I wasn't following my gut, I guess. And I was like trying to be more open to things and in many aspects, as well as people. Like I was trying to like try new things, and that's when I was also like was in my first relationship kind of thing, which was terrible. But I was kind of like, oh, I mean, I've never done it before, so we'll see how it goes. And then it was really bad.
I'm laughing only because I'm relatable.
Yeah.
How has holding less anger served you?
Well, I don't know. I feel like I just am more at ease. I've never really felt like content with things, and I'm trying to work towards that these days. Whereas I feel like I was just a bit angsty and like, yeah, like ready to pop off at anything. Whereas now I'm just like, oh, that's not my fight. I'm trying to say less. I don't want a podcast, but I'm just, yeah, I would like to be more of the kind of person who's like strong, silent type, more stoic. But I'm not, because I'm a massive like motor mouth.
Do you want to talk about being diagnosed with ADHD at 31?
Sure. I mean, it's after, you know, on seeing TikTok, I'm like, it's not exactly an original experience. Yeah. Like, I'm just like one of the many, like millennial females that have been diagnosed at a later age. Massive revelation for my life, though. Huge. Like at the time I was writing a business plan to try to get some funding, kind of money for starting up my business. I was kind of like sitting down, you know, out of my bedroom and kitchen table every day trying to write this business plan. I'd maybe get like a page out a day just because I'm so unfocused. And then the day that I took the ADHD meds, I smashed out like 17 pages compared to one. And I realized that I had never experienced focus like ever. Yeah. And I originally thought I wanted to be a writer, but then I was like, I can't because I don't read. I just cannot focus. It's not enough stimulus for me. And yeah, like studying and stuff in school. I think in my school report, it actually said like she is a distraction to herself and those around her. You know, like that's a good read. It's totally accurate. I've never been able to kind of just concentrate and sit down and do something. I mean, there's the other side of it, like the hyperfixation side when you just get really into something. But I think that's how I operate as a being in general, like very one extreme or the other.
What makes the fine arts seem bullshit?
Oh, did I say that?
I think
harsh.
You didn't.
The question is harsh,
but you kind of said in pass and like in the wider context, you're talking about how you realized that.
So
you started noticing that.
I did study it. It's not a, you know, uneducated view. I lived in Auckland for a few years. I went to AUT and did visual arts up there. I don't really like the whole conceptual theoretical side of it. Like, you know, I don't want to go to a museum and read about this artwork. You know, I want to just see it and experience it. And why can't aesthetic be enough? You know, I get it. People have like deep meaning behind things. But as someone who hates reading, I'm not going to read about it. Like, make it come through. I don't know. It just felt a bit wanky to me. Whereas like, I just want to make things.
Yeah.
You know, the bottom line, I just want to create. And I don't think I need to write a whole essay to justify why. So I guess that's what I don't really like about it. It's not a circle I'm in.
You're not the first person I've had on who said that.
Oh, okay.
What do you love about zine making?
I love that it's very low pressure and I can just be silly. Like you can literally just say anything you want, really. Like there's that feeling of like, am I allowed? I can just do it, you know, like, and it's quick. You know, it's not like I'm working on a painting for hours and hours and it feels all precious. I feel like I can just, the best zines I feel like are the ones that I just whip up last minute, you know, a day before Zine Fest because I'm like, oh shit, I need to have a new zine out. Yeah, I feel like it's freeing if you're in like a creative block or something. Just make a zine. You know, it's like an easy, quick thing. You could do it in just an A4 piece of paper and just fold it up and done. And it's just something to get you flowing again, I guess.
Tell me about the process of starting your jewelry brand. Why can't I talk properly? Talk to me about the process of starting Pang.
It was something that had been brewing for a long time. I first started making jewellery back in, I think, like 2016. I did like some night classes after work kind of thing. At the time, I was trying to be like a more 2D artist, I guess. I was doing lots of prints, illustration kind of stuff. And then I decided I hated drawing all of a sudden, and I moved into like collage kind of thing because I was like, I don't want to draw anymore and I don't want to be on my iPad so much. I feel like that's why I have to wear glasses now, is because so much like screen damage. So I wanted to do something more, I guess, tactile, like with my hands. And I wanted to wear some like jewellery that I wanted to wear that I couldn't find anywhere. So I was like, I'll just make it myself. That's fine. You know, 2020, the whole situation there, yes. I was a bit of a like, okay, what am I doing?
Pivot.
Yeah, because I actually was planning to move to the UK. I had flights booked for like April 2020,
wow,
which is right when it all kicked off kind of thing. And I was like, okay, I need to go try and be like a office person, a normal corporate ladder kind of thing. But I was like, I don't want to do that here. I feel like, I don't know, bland. Like maybe if I'm doing it over there, I could at least get something creative related. So that was my plan. And then that obviously fell through because of COVID. And then I was like, okay, what do I want to do now? And then I ended up doing this. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of very up and coming trending. Like I'm seeing so many like independent young jewellery designers from Australia, which are always maybe like, you know, a couple steps ahead. And yeah, heaps popping up in New Zealand now. What was the question? Sorry.
What was the question? Oh, just talking about the process of starting Pang. And then you did it. And
yeah,
then
I guess I just like, I'm quite a doer. I'm like, I'm just going to do things.
You did like this course and then
it was like a small business course, but it was more a loophole to jump through that. Like you had to do it to even apply for this like money. Oh, I would say just one quick thing.
Yes.
Don't recommend monetizing all your hobbies, like art, jewelry making, everything. I tried to, you know, like running an online shop with it. I have nothing to do in my spare time. Like what do I do if I'm not working? I mean, that's work now, you know, like
yeah,
it is enjoyable, but like I said, 80% of it is just the admin tedious stuff. I feel like I'm at an age now as well where like all of my friends have been in their A stream office jobs, whatever, for so long now. They're quite high up and they're earning a lot of money. And I'm still
poor. Are they happy though?
We've all got vices, you know, like, yeah, I'm just like here, still broke. But like I said, I have my time. They don't have their time, you know.
Totally.
So I guess it's where your values are. But it is hard when, you know, your friends are like, oh, let's go to this concert. And I'm like, I can't afford that. Yeah. I don't know, at this age, people have money.
How old are you?
32 and a half. Because you interview a lot of younger people.
Yeah.
I feel like I wish I was here then, you know, where I am now in my 20s. I don't know, I have this.
You're comparing yourself to the younger people that I've interviewed.
Yeah, I mean,
that's so interesting.
They're like onto it, you know? I'm like, that's why I was like, why do you want to interview me? Like, I'm just minding my business over here. And these people are all like, for the community, righteous. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I don't know if all of them would think that about themselves. It's really interesting how we perceive other people.
They're impressive though, right? Don't you think? Like,
why wouldn't they think that about you?
I'm not saying they wouldn't, but I don't know. I just always have this, like with the time thing again, I have this sense of like urgency that I need to be further doing more. I don't know.
I've heard that. I hear that a lot, how everyone's like feels pressure to be achieving sooner.
A big issue of it is, you know, they're not celebrating your small wins kind of thing. So I'm not like recognizing those milestones because like Pang Jewellery is still really young. It's like maybe just over a year old. Last year was fucking hectic. Like I was just like bam, 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 going all the time. Had my ADHD diagnosis, so I was like hard on those ADHD meds, trying to work out the dosage, but also just like going a million miles an hour, super burnt out end of the year. This year I was like, cannot do that again. I'm too old for that. I need to chill it out a bit.
And has it been?
Because
we're in.
So I'm catching up, like, but I still always feel like I'm behind. Just like feel like I'm rushing around a lot. You know, this is a massive tangent, but have you seen, what's that Andrew Garfield movie where he was playing the guy who wrote Rent.
Oh, I haven't watched that.
Oh, because he was talks about how he's always had like some sense of the actual person, sense of urgency, and it's like, and he died really young. You know, it's like, oh, maybe it's like some subconscious thing that I'm like, I need to get this stuff out before like I've got a timeline. I don't know.
But, no, I haven't seen that movie.
I would say I'm definitely a fast person as opposed to a slow person.
How would you describe your leadership?
So that's really funny that it is a theme for this season.
Why?
Because I am no leader, nor am I a follower. Like, I told my friends that that was one of the themes, and they laughed because they're like, leadership, you know? Like, I've always felt, yeah, like I said, different. I'm not leading anyone, as far as I know. I'm not actively trying to lead anyone. And I'm definitely not following anyone. Like, I think I have a massive attitude problem. Like, I've never done well with doing what I'm told or just, you know, getting in line, following along. I don't know, I do feel like I'm really, like, paving my own way through life and trying to work out how to do it, because the traditional way is not working for me.
That sounds like leading to me, but okay.
But who am I leading? I'm just leading myself, really, I guess.
You don't necessarily need to have like direct reports to be leading. One definition of leadership is creating outcomes that matter the most.
Oh.
Creating outcomes. It's not managing, like telling people what to do.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that, okay, sure. Mm. I could lead in that. I'm just, I feel like I'm just finding my own way.
Mm.
And I guess I do have to lead that myself because it's not there in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely not on a, you know, straight path. Like most people, I suppose.
When it comes to creating, you also dabble in illustration, collage, painting, sculpting, photography, embroidery. Mm. When are you at your most creative and in flow?
Maybe when I'm troubleshooting something, like I've fucked up and I made a mistake and I'm trying to resolve it. I like that space because it's something logistical about it as well, like working out how I'm going to fix it. I think with my illustration, it ended up the way it was because I'm not traditionally really good at drawing or anything. Like, I think there is a big difference between being creative and being, like, technically skilled, if you know what I mean. Like, I can't, like, life draw. So instead, I would draw non-existent things. I feel like that is more creative because it's bringing something into this world that didn't exist before.
Yes.
Like, in that later lockdown we had, I decided to start paint like still life painting, which I don't know why I did decide to do that because I haven't painted since maybe like sixth or seventh form. Not really a painter. I think I just wanted to prove to myself that I could do it.
Well, how do you feel when you're doing it? As in the process?
That's just that I was actually just looking back on it on my phone and I'd been posting on my stories about it and heaps of the captions were like, I'm not sure if I'm enjoying this or if it's torture.
What does interest you?
What interests me? That's really wide.
I know. Okay, let's say when it comes to what you create, the process of creating.
I like more tactile things in the way that it feels. Like with my jewellery process, I make most things in wax first and then get it cast in metal. It's just such a softer medium. You know, metal, I'm like grinding and filing and it's loud and noisy and I live in an apartment and with my partner, so I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna be loud now, and I'm like, bang, bang, bang. It must be really annoying. But wax
oh, you're
is
one
like,
of those apartment people. You're
yeah,
one of those neighbors.
I mean, I haven't had any complaints, and I do just like solder things in my kitchen. Like, I don't have a full on setup. Mm. I think people think you need a lot to make jewelry, but I literally just have a desk and tools and stuff like that. But at the most basic, you could still just have a few things and be making. But I think I like, I don't know, it's like really satisfying to like carve into wax as opposed to like grind into metal. So maybe like a sensory thing. Mm. And I just want to make cute shit.
Yeah.
You know, like I want
to. I do. I love your taste. I gotta
say. Thank you. I just want to make what I want to make, really. And that's it. Like,
yeah.
I guess I am influenced by what I'm seeing, but if this is like super trendy and everyone's making it, I don't want to make that. Mm. You know, I want to make some different stuff.
Yeah, you make stuff that you actually like.
Yeah, and I'm not that fussed if other people don't like it, to be honest. Like I was saying about not monetizing all your hobbies, I think, you know, I've turned this into a business, so I have to like promote it, and I hate doing the marketing side of things. I hate Instagramming things.
I wonder if whether that's how I found you, whether it was through Instagram. No, I'm pretty sure it was Instagram.
Right, yeah. Well, I saw, yeah, Ages and Alter followed me on Instagram, and that's how I discovered you guys, and I started watching.
It would have been from Instagram.
Yeah. But I don't have, like, heaps of followers or anything.
I think it was a sponsored post. Would you have done that?
Yeah, maybe. Sometimes I throw, like, $20 at a post or something. Hey. Cool. That's not working. Yeah, it works.
Now, I had a question, and now I know the answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. Do you do much collaborating with other people?
Do you think you know the answer? Because I was like, I'm self-centered, and I just want to make what I want.
Before you said you were kind of like, didn't like people, and, you know,
right.
Yeah.
I like to collaborate with others, but I think I'm particular about it.
What kinds of people do you like collaborating with?
My people.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Tell me. Like, my good friend Christine, who's Asian, you should interview her. She holds collage workshops and stuff. That's always a fun thing to do with other people.
Yeah.
And that's fun. I don't think that's like my full productive zone though. Like if I'm making serious making, I'm by myself.
Yeah.
You know that game like Exquisite Corpse where you fold a piece of paper into three and someone draws the head, someone draws the body?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We used to do a lot of that in my flat because we were all artists. But yeah. One of them, like her aesthetic just doesn't fit in, you know, and I'm just like,
you're like, no, that
I'm not for this collab.
What makes a great collaboration?
Taste.
Oh my god,
is that obnoxious? Like, but you can't learn it, you know, like,
whoa,
yeah, that's
no, I love that. Be unapologetic about that. Okay, earlier you wrote, and I quote, "I could speak on how I am a bad example of self-love, lol."
Oh, yeah. In many ways. In terms of, like, working, like I said, I, like, worked myself to the bone last year. I was just like, go, go, go.
Is that the first time you've done that?
No. I just thought I hadn't hustled in a while.
Right.
But, you know, my 20s, I was go, go, go all the time, burnt out a lot. But in terms of self-love, yeah, I would say I'm definitely a bad example of, you know, recognizing what you've accomplished and, you know, taking the time to be like, whoa, cool, I got my website up. It's like, no, I'm on to the next thing. Mm. Even like last week I released, I don't know, 3 rings or something. I don't even care about those anymore. I've made like 2 other batches since then. You know, I've moved on, you know, right. But that's the delay of all the tedious admin. Yeah. Maybe that's what killed it for me. You know, I've got to like take all the product photos and edit them and make the listing, blah, blah, blah. By then I'm like, I'm done with that. I want to make a new thing. How did we get onto that? That was not about self-love.
I like how we keep I'll ask a question, but we end up somewhere else. But it's good.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I like
I'm not interviewed a lot. Oh yeah,
because we talk about self love and you're burning out and not pausing to celebrate what you achieved, no matter what, how big or small.
Because it's just me operating on my own. You know, I do everything for that.
Yeah.
Who am I celebrating with? Like, we're all going to have a staff party, you know? Like,
that's interesting. I guess it depends on how you see celebration.
True. I mean, I'm happy if at the end of the day I can just stop working. You know, like last year I've always had terrible sleeping issues. Like, I'm very nocturnal. And this is why the office work 1 day a week truck is trying to keep me on a normal cycle, but yeah, last year I'd finish dinner and be like, oh, it's like only 10 o'clock. I could still do some more work and I'll work till like 6 a.m.
Oh my God.
You know, but again, I'm like very one extreme or the other because then the next day I'm fucked and I'm like just blobbing out. I'm not good with like balance in that way, I think. And my mum's always like, everything in moderation. And I just cannot live by that. And in terms of self-love, like body stuff as well, like, I cannot moderate that.
if your mum wasn't someone who told you that, do you think you'd still be struggling with balance?
I mean, she told me that, but I obviously am not hearing it. You know, like, I'm not living that. I think it's just who I am. I feel like I'm just like the pendulum swing kind of thing, and it's never stopping in the middle, just one extreme and the other, in every aspect of my life as well. I'm either freezing cold or I'm sweating.
Like, I are never, you cold now?
No, I'm fine now because I was sweating, you know?
Like, yeah.
And body stuff, you know, I've done the, I'm going to diet hard and watch my fitness pal, my calories and all that. And then
I've been there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, fuck it. I just want to eat and be happy.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's been a bit of a journey too, I guess. And yeah, I really should have appreciated that body I had in my 20s kind of thing.
Don't
you know,
all,
like,
don't we yeah, all think that?
That's not an original thing,
no,
I
but,
suppose.
But
yeah.
I totally hear you on that. And I guess we are in aging bodies.
Yeah.
And we're never going to be as young as we are now.
Really hard to accept. I don't know when. But, like, whose skin is this on my face? Because it's not my skin. It's old now.
You have great skin.
No, actually, recovering from a massive, like, eczema flare-up on my face.
Really?
I have makeup on, obviously. Like, I'm not coming out here all red and blotchy. Like,
no, that's really good.
I've always had bad skin issues my whole life. But not so much on my face, like, body eczema stuff. I'm not, like, a makeup girly. And now I'm finding I need to wear makeup because this is not one skin tone anymore, and I don't know how to do it.
So, self-love stuff, body stuff, do you check yourself?
I try to. You know, people are always talking about negative self-talk.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm quite self-deprecating.
Yeah.
But it's funny, like, in a humorous way. But yeah, I've like definitely recognized that in myself. And now, you know, people are much more aware of it, and I try to be as well. I feel like my body changed a lot from, like, I went through like a second puberty kind of thing in my late 20s, early 30s. Like, I went from having an A cup my whole life to like C cup. And I was like, my body just changed quite drastically. And I feel like it was suddenly. Like, one day I was just like, whoa, who is this? I'm like a few years into that now. So I'm like, okay, this is it. This is what it is. I'll work with that. You know, like,
yeah,
it's not changing. Doesn't seem to be changing. I'm very me and, like you said, unapologetic about it. So I think I just have to go with it. I don't know if that is a form of self-love because it feels kind of forced.
Like, I think we're going to start
really
somewhere.
Optional.
I think if you're starting from somewhere where you don't feel enough, and you don't love yourself, I think it takes some overexerting to get to a neutral position.
I think, like, growing up, I was always, and teenage, early 20s, I was always quite hard as a person. Most people will think I'm a bitch, and I'm like, that's fine. I'll lean into that. If that's what you want to project on me, okay. I'm not the opposite of that, so sure. Like,
do you think that was a protection thing?
Maybe. I don't know. I have a younger sister, and she is like kind of the opposite of me growing up anyway. She was like quite a girly girl, goody two shoes, like organized, and like she like wrote one thing wrong, she ripped the whole page out and write it out again. I think a lot of who I am was defined by the people around me who I was like, I'm not like that. You know, if she was to like pink, I don't want to be the blue girl though, so I'm the purple girl. And like a really good friend I had for like a decade of my life growing up, she was a real like boy girl, a boy obsessed kind of girl. And I wasn't. And I think I leaned into that really hard because I was like, I don't want to be like that. I think a lot of working out who I am was working out who I definitely didn't want to be. And now I'm like, okay, this is it. This is what I'm working with. I'm aware that I'm different to others.
Is that because you just haven't found the right people?
I have my people. It's a very small group, I'd say. Like, that's been culled, you know, a lot, as you do when you, yeah, it's like hard to see people and you kind of just end up with, you know, the people you really actually want to hang out with.
In your
30s. See. I've even
totally
felt like
agree.
That even like leaving high school, you know, everyone's crying and I'm like,
see ya.
And I was like, well, yeah, bye. Yeah. And you know, what's the big deal? If I like you, I'm going to see you again. If I don't, I will never see you again. And that's fine with me. Like, that was another thing of like hardness in my youth. Like, I was not a crier. Now,
I was literally just going to ask you.
Because now I can't even see someone tear up without wanting to cry. I don't know when that happened. Maybe when I was like went through a big like depression era in my mid to late 20s. I just like can't deal with sad stuff now. I could watch anything and not cry, like the saddest movie ever. And now I can't even listen to Sandcastles by Beyonce because I'm like, it's too sad. I'm not going to listen to that song. I don't know what changed. Maybe I just got old. I'm old, I'm tired, and I'm like, I feel more sensitive now. Like, I don't,
I was exactly the same.
Yeah.
I don't know if you do or have done any shadow work. When I was in my 20s, like you, I was very, like,
strong. Yeah.
Strong was a mask that I'd wear. I'd be
for sure.
Strong. I was like holding shit down. And I would always get really annoyed by girls who would cry.
Yeah.
I remember being my old job, one of my direct reports would cry all the time. And I'd be like, that just, this is so annoying. And then through doing some work and coaching, I realized, oh, that's all my shit around having to be strong all the time. There's actually a part of me that's pretty vulnerable.
And was that work changed it about, like, it was no incident that happened, like nothing you went through that
it was a reflection. I was doing some leadership development work where you kind of realize that I was wearing a mask of needing to be strong. I was dialed up really high and strong because I was like deeply triggered by this person who was like crying. And I realized that was because I had made assumptions and beliefs about how people should be. And when I kind of acknowledged that, it was funny because through doing this work, I got to the point where people can cry and I'm like, I'll cry. And it doesn't annoy me anymore. Like, it's not a thing.
I feel like you're talking about me. I feel like this, whoa.
But that was, I just.
When you're talking about someone who's crying, like my sister, crybaby as fuck. And I was just like, why is she so sensitive? Yeah. And I'm like, maybe it's. You listen to Flex and Frooms?
Yes, love.
Yeah, so Froom was talking about her sister and how the things she hates about her sister were the things that she could recognize in herself that she was trying to deny.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm like,
cool
shadow
work.
That's on point. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because the whole theory around it is that when we are really young, something will happen. There'll be an event that might be really small, but we will interpret as a child and we'll make meaning from it and we'll make these false beliefs. For example,
that's your baseline.
We'll make a false belief like, I'm not enough, or I'm unwanted, or they're really specific. You'll have your own personal one and you'll know it's yours because it'll make you like in your body. You'll have a reaction to it. Also, you know, I'm unlovable, I'm dumb, all that sort of stuff. And then to survive or to overcome or to kind of push that down, we'll make certain ways of being good and bad. So we want to be seen as strong.
Yeah.
And because being like soft or vulnerable or a fucking crybaby, that's really bad.
Yeah.
But of course it's not. So through this shadow work, we're trying to get in the middle and to see that we are all of those things.
Yeah.
And to be super polarized, then we are walking around and living our day being triggered by all these people.
Yeah.
And that all those triggers actually showing us, actually, that's because
you're kind of like denying that in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually it's people we work with or people we are close with that'll trigger something. And you know that you are triggered when you wake up the next morning and you're still fucking thinking about it.
Oh, okay. I feel like you are what I need to be doing. You're maybe like further down the path than I am on this. Because what you're saying is definitely resonating.
So if there's someone who is really fucking you off big time, the thing is to kind of label that attribute that's annoying. Like, you can't just say, oh, he's an asshole.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, he's actually really
down arrogant.
And it's like, is that because you've got a thing about being humble? Are you trying to, you know, as an example.
Yeah,
right. Or I think incompetence can really bug me because I need to be seen as being really fucking good.
Definitely, yeah.
So,
I've got some work to do. That's what you're saying.
How did we even get on that?
I don't know. Now that you're saying all that, I'm like, I think we are very similar.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Yep.
And some of that stuff, I think, could be cultural as well. You know,
for sure.
We really...
Especially like the incompetence thing.
Yeah. What's been taking up your headspace recently?
Honestly, fretting about this podcast.
Really? Oh my God. Has it been so bad?
No, it's not been bad at all. I don't know. I was just nervous. What's been on my mind?
Yeah, to be fair, I probably would be too.
Like I said, I've been binging all the episodes as well while I've been making it. It's a great thing to make too. I also listen to all my walks. but that's been actually really on my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess just making things I want to make always on my mind. Like, I don't feel like I have anywhere near the bottom of the barrel in terms of ideas or things. Like, I haven't even branched out into, like, stones. You know, for jewellery, that is. And the concept of, like, boredom is unfamiliar to me.
Same.
Yeah, I'm like,
what?
There is so much to do. Yeah. Like, come on. Mm. Yeah, and, you know, people ask me, like, oh, you know, is it hard coming up with ideas? And I'm like, no, I've never really struggled with that. I think it's I just have to make, you know, and, like, it's an endless well of things.
Have you always been like this?
I think so. Like maybe it was projected onto me. I've always been told as a kid that I was like arty kind of thing. And I liked drawing and stuff. But even in high school, like I hated art because it was a lot of life drawing-y kind of traditional art. And I hate maybe it's like I don't have the patience for it. Didn't really enjoy it. Even going to uni to do art, it felt like, what else would I do at uni? Like I had to go to uni. I have an Asian dad. But if I wasn't going to do art, I'm like, I don't know what else I'd do. It feels like my only option. Yeah. And now that I'm at this age point in my life, I'm like, okay, I'm too far deep. This is it. Like,
your dad just wanted you to go to uni. He didn't specify what course.
He obviously wouldn't have wanted me to do fine arts, but that was the borderline, at least go to uni.
The compromise.
Yeah. Even now, like I was saying, because I don't even think he knows what I do. He speaks Cantonese. He speaks some English, but I'm really bad. I don't really speak Cantonese. So a bit of a language barrier there. Mm. Like, I wouldn't say we're close. I really liked that interview with you and your dad, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
That was cute. Because I was like, oh, whoa, you're like just talking to your dad. Like, he's a person and you're a person.
Yeah, well, I suppose so dad moved here in the 70s from Malaysia for his parents, him going to a Catholic school, Christian school, or speaking English. It was seen as like white supremacy, basically, as a better thing. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't speak Hokkien, which he speaks. So I was brought up speaking English, you know. That's why I can have a podcast episode with him.
Well, I mean, even if my dad could speak really good English or I could speak, I don't think we'd be having conversations like that.
Really?
No, it's like...
How come?
I don't know. Just like he's the scary Asian dad trope thing. Like my mum was born here. She's Chinese, but she was born here. So it's like not like that with my mum. Yeah, I don't think he even knows what I do really. And I was asking, you know, that's like the only thing he asked me really is like, how many hours are you working? And like, have you learnt to drive yet?
When did he move here?
Oh, see, I should know this. This is something I should know. I don't know when he met my mum. And then it was like, he's going to have to go back to Hong Kong or marry my mum to stay in New Zealand. And that's what happened. They're not together anymore, which was a bit controversial because he's, like I said, super traditional. But yeah, I said to him that I work, you know, I'm working in this office job one day a week and then I'm working on my own business the rest of the time. And his response would be like, you should work there more days a week. You know, security. In the office. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. So I'm like, I get it. But yeah, I'm like, well, I wouldn't say we're close. He's been in China since like end of last year. Apparently he's back, but he hasn't told me that. My sister saw that on my like stepsister's Instagram or something. Mm. Nothing against him. I just don't think we don't really have a connection like that. Like he doesn't even know I have tattoos.
What?
And I've been tattooed for like a decade.
Wow.
Yeah. So I wonder if he ever thinks like, I haven't seen my daughter's arms in 10 years.
Yeah, so for listeners, it's not like you just have like a small tattoo. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, like I just wear long sleeves if I see him.
And is it because you know that he is like anti-tattoos?
Yeah, he's just like traditional in that way. I think when he was in Hong Kong before he came here, he was a police officer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like, thinking back, I'm like, that would have been, you know, like 90s, like corrupt as fuck. And like, I don't know. So the stigma is like, you're a gang member or a prostitute. And when I was maybe like 20 or something and I got like my first tattoo, I called him to tell him. I wasn't asking him, I was just letting him know.
Yeah.
And it did not go well. Like I don't know, I thought he'd just like grunt, whatever. But he was like really actively against it, like telling me off, and I was like, whoa, I haven't been told off by my dad since I was a kid. This is weird. And it ended with him being like, you know, I don't want to see it till the day I die. I'm like, that's a weird phrase as well, because like, does that mean you want to see it the day
just
you die?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
By the way.
Okay.
So yeah, there's definitely like distance there. Mm. Like, I'm definitely very grateful and appreciate everything he's done. You know, like I don't understand how you can come from Hong Kong and go and live in like Putapuumi, New Zealand. It's like white as heck.
Yeah, because you're like, fish and chip shop kid, right?
For sure. So yeah, I'm like, how do you go from that? And then you just... I guess it's seen as like a better life here to do that. But I'm like pretty bleak, pretty monotonous.
Have you been to Hong Kong?
I have a couple of times, but I was quite young. I was a kid. I really wanted to move there at one point, but then all the shit was going down.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, not a good time. I would like to go back. I do feel like if I was to go back there, I'd feel obliged to like meet heaps of my family and stuff there. And then it's going to be the whole same, like, oh, you don't speak Chinese. And,
yeah.
And I'll be like, don't tell my dad about my tattoos. Like,
how spiritual would you say you are?
medium, medium spiritual.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not religious in any way, so we'll just eliminate that side of things. Wasn't brought up religious. I did go to a private Anglican school for 1 year, and that was like mind blowing for me. Like, I'd never even been in a church before that, and they have like chapel every Thursday. So that was a bit of a culture shock. That was when I first moved to Wellington, and I was like, whoa, there are other kids of colour in the classroom. Crazy. So yeah, religious, not really. I think my dad's like Buddhist. If I had to pick one, I'm like, that seems nice.
Yeah.
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 In terms of like woo-woo, spiritual, I'm definitely open to it, but I'm not actively pursuing that myself. I don't know. I don't have time. I feel like I would like to. I have a close friend who does like tarot and things like that. So when I was living with her, I was getting a lot of tarot readings and things. And actually one of my auntie had a whole phase where she was super into Reiki and stuff like that. So not unfamiliar with it, but not like super practicing, but definitely open to it. Like, there's got to be something there. Like, you know, people are so skeptical and say it's just what you make of it. But I'm like, well, why? So we were doing a tarot reading, my friend who I lived with. And I don't know, I feel like I would always pull similar cards. And then she did my boyfriend. And he pulls this card out I'd never seen ever before. And it was quite a funny deck. It was like animals. And I would always be pulling like swords and cats and owls kind of thing. And he pulls out this like unicorn. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, if this isn't real, how is this happening? That's nothing to do with me, that card. I've never seen it in my life. So yeah, I'm like, I'm a believer. But I'm not like super deep into it.
Would you do ayahuasca?
Sure. I'm okay, mum, stop listening now if you're listening. I'm really into drugs. And I'm definitely open to that, for sure. That, I think, is one of my unfortunate many talents.
Doing drugs?
I'm really good at it. That's not something that's been accessible to me. Is it easily available?
I haven't done it. I haven't done it, but I actually don't
think... That was just a specific thing to ask.
I don't know why that just kind of popped into my head. Yeah. Only because I've like seen TikToks about it. And I don't think have you seen TikToks about it?
No, people who trip.
And it's like you see other beings and it's like you kind of see through the matrix and I don't know if I can actually handle it.
Okay, so.
Although people...
Do you listen to otherworldly podcasts?
No. Is it good?
It's pretty good. I just discovered it, and it's people's like weird spiritual experiences, but from their account, they're actually telling the story.
Yeah. Super, I find it really interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't think, even though I know people have done it and they've been like, it's really opened my mind.
Right. I honestly think everyone needs to do like
acid.
Like acid or shrooms, some kind of psychedelic thing, because it does open your mind. Mm. And I feel like that, in terms of spirituality, like that is a state where you're like, oh, everything is alive.
Yeah.
There is like, you feel the energy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wah, wah, wah.
And sometimes you can see it.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't necessarily need to have like the crazy visuals or anything, but just like the feeling.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time I'd ever felt like content. And I was like, whoa, this is like, I'm just being, I just am.
Yeah.
This is sounding really like, you know, like.
Peace out, man.
I think like when I am trippy, I'm like, I feel sad that like my mum would never experience this feeling kind of thing. And it is a good thing. That time card that I pulled mentioned something about perspective. And I'm like, that's so important. You know, like even times when I'm feeling like, oh, I've got like so much work to do. I'm swamped. And I'm like, it's all about perspective. If I just look at it like, look, I am lucky enough to have the time to do this and do it in my own way. Like, I'm like, that's a much better perspective to attack it at. You know, like, I have a lot of shit to do, but hey, I can smoke some weed and do it. Or like, I'll do it in the sun, or I can do it and I won't set an alarm. I'll just start it when I start it kind of thing. So,
Is there anything else that we haven't spoken about that you want to speak about?
I had something I wanted to ask you and now I can't
remember.
I can't remember now.
Was it from something that you'd heard?
Something you said earlier. I don't know. Because, I mean, you're like my age.
How old are you?
32.
I'm 37.
Oh, okay. Do you have advice for me? Like, I'd love some advice. Because that's something I can request.
Some advice? I don't know. With what?
I don't know. I feel like lots of the stuff you're talking about, you've obviously been on some kind of journey in some way. I don't know, maybe I'm like a bit stagnant and I need to do some hard work on myself. I don't know.
I think I'll probably be ruthless. Oh, it's probably, I find it interesting that you use the word stagnant.
Mm.
Do you journal? You do. You just mentioned it before, didn't you? Or as a diary?
I mean, I have a diary, but it's not like Dear Diary. it's more just like, I think it's actually a form of trying to maintain control.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I got my ADHD diagnosis, they did say I have slight like OCD tendencies. And I was like, that's not news to me. I'm well aware of that. But the diary thing is, it's more like a documentation thing. I tried to quit it. So my diaries are like filled out of everything I've done that day. No, not emotional in any sense. Just keeping track.
Yeah.
I don't know, keeping tabs. I think it's a way of justifying that I'm doing work. I don't know, because I'm like kind of ruled by guilt as my existence. And I'm like, this is how I can, you know, prove to someone, I don't know, no one's reading it, myself maybe, that I'm like, and I have things under control, I'm doing this. I've actively decided I'm not doing it next year because I'm sick of writing everything down.
Mm.
But, I mean, when I was doing fine arts, my practice was a lot about documentation and logging things. I don't know, something about that. Maybe it's a control thing. I feel like I'm in a therapy session.
And I don't want to end up, I don't want it to sound like I'm trying to be a therapist.
Because
I'm
not. Please, I need a therapist. I can't afford one.
I'm definitely not.
How do we get onto that journaling?
You wanted advice, but you say things and that kind of being like, oh, there's something in that when you're saying things like.
Oh, being riddled with guilt.
Yes.
Yes. I think that is a big part of my existence. Maybe that's something from my mum.
A lot of stuff is related to appearance.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that we carry, or even like
I'm not close to my dad, but I do feel guilty that he, you know, has come to this new country, established himself, made money enough to like support us, and here I am just like dumpty doing through life, whereas he would obviously want me to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Has he said that to you?
I mean, not explicitly, but he actually is remarried now, and her kids, one of them is in med school, so
great.
He got it, just not from me. Okay. Yeah, so that's fine. But yeah, definitely the guilt thing is.
And how do you think that, how do you let go of that?
I don't know. How do I let go of that? And also, if I did, would I get anything done? Because I feel like that's kind of what drives me a lot. You know, like if I had no guilt, what things like keeping your self-care stuff, exercising, going for a walk, I do that out of guilt. I don't want to do that. I feel like I have to. You know, if I had no guilt, I would not be going on a bushwalk. I would still make, because I feel like that's just what I want to do. Mm. But I wouldn't even show people. I would just make for the sake of making. Putting it out there maybe is like proving to people that I'm not just a bum and just doing nothing. Anyway, I don't know. It's any tips on how to get rid of that is welcome.
Oh, no, don't you be thinking that I'm the master of how to live guilt-free. But I would suggest you consider the celebration thing. And I think potentially playing with it instead of thinking that you need to solve it. For example, if one of your goals was to get rid of guilt, not think of it like, okay, what are the surefire steps to get me from A to B? Just play with the options that you've got, that you can come up with. You don't have to be controlling, you know, of the outcome.
Yeah, right, yeah. I just feel like my resistance to letting the guilt thing go is that, what am I...
It's safe and probably what you've known.
Well, yeah, it kind of dictates a lot. For me. You know, I wasn't guilty about things, I'm like, I think I'd just be an asshole.
I think you'd be more than that. I think you're
a massive asshole.
Don't sell yourself short.
Hmm.
Finish these sentences. I'm feeling inspired by.
Feeling inspired by, I mean, this podcast, because I have been binging it. I don't know. I didn't know there were so many cool people out there. I feel like my world has gotten quite small in the past, I don't know, a few years. Not that I'm happy with that, but I'm like, oh, wow, I forgot there were other people doing cool stuff. And then I'm looking up the people that you're interviewing and I'm like, oh, I already follow them and they're doing cool things. And on a more creating level, inspired by this like 90s Y2K comeback. You know, now, you know, when you're a kid and adults were like, oh, we had these clothes when I was young.
And now suddenly it's like,
me.
Oh, shit.
I'm the adult now being like, I wore these clothes, you know, from HBK. But I'm loving it. Obviously, I'm going to pick and choose which aspects of that I'm taking, but I'm really inspired by that. Like, I just made this ring very, like, juvenile, like, nostalgic, yeah, I don't know, cutesy, childlike stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just fun, not serious jewellery is not what I'm going for.
I'm really looking forward to.
Someone else said this. They said going home. And I was like, yeah, I so hear that. I love going home.
Yeah, someone did say going home. Yeah, who was that? Going home.
It was a recent-ish one.
Maybe it was. Was it Rose?
I don't know if they were kidding, but I'm fully serious about that. No. I love going home.
Yeah, me too.
I want to take my pants off. I want to go home and take my pants off and chill. Because I've been a bit anxious about this. So I'm like, oh, I just...
It's nearly over. Yeah. It's not putting out any
I'm
misery.
Sorry. I don't mean to say this is torturous or anything. I was just like in my mind freaking a bit. But and I'm looking forward to summer.
I'd love to be known for.
See, a lot of people answer this.
Go with your answer.
I would say I'd want to be known for my creations, for what I make, what I produce. Mm. Not so much me. I mean, me in the sense of, like, I guess my originality or... just, you know, being, yeah, unapologetically who I am. But I don't know, a lot of people say, like, kindness. And I'm like, oh, me. I just want to be known for me.
Yeah, you're like, fuck that. Yeah. I want to be known for what I create.
Yeah, is that really self-centered?
Good answer. Thanks, Ellie.
Oh, is that it?
That's it.
Whoa, that was fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. This episode was made possible thanks to Foundation North and Creative New Zealand. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe, share, and review the podcast, and stay tuned for updates.